This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Thank you very much for the warm introduction. I see many new faces, people I've never seen before, many old faces, good friends, many giggling faces. Welcome, everybody. It's wonderful to be here. We just read on Tisha B'Av about tonight's shiur. On Tisha B'Av, the night, the saddest night of the year, the Navi Yirmiyah predicted tonight's gathering. We say in Eicha, Vayetze mibas Tzion kol hadara, that all the glory left Tzion. So simply that's read and understood to mean that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and Yerushalayim lay in ruins, all the glory left Tzion. However, the Ben Ishchai has a positive interpretation. And before I share that with you, just a word from our sponsor. Tonight's shiur is dedicated by Ms. Malka Finkel towards the Refuah Shleima for Bina Chana Malka Bas Bluma, Shev Refuah Shleima, Bekarov, Besach Shachal Yisrael. So we say, Yenecha Vayetze Mibas Tzion Kal Hadara, all the glory left Tzion, which is simply understood as a very ominous prophecy, a very mournful prophecy that all the glory of Yerushalayim left. However, the Ben Ishchai has a perspective on Eicha where he interprets Eicha as a positive prophecy. Says the Ben Ishchai that unfortunately in the Golos there's a phenomenon that there's a lot of Torah that comes from Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, but there's also a lot of Torah that comes from outside of Eretz Yisrael. However, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt and the Geula comes, all the glory will leave Tzion. All the glory, all the Torah will emanate from Yerushalayim. So for me personally, this is one step closer, one inch closer. During the rest of the year, I have the privilege to teach Torah in Ir HaKodesh, Cedarhurst. Now, it's not a holy city, but if you're going to live in America, Cedarhurst is the best city to live in because it's the closest city to JFK. Yep. So when Mashiach comes, first stop, JFK. John F. Kennedy
Airport.
New York area. Yeah. Now I have the opportunity to teach Torah in Yerushalayim, and the Ben Ishchai says when the Geula comes, it will be Ki Mitzion Teitzei Saira Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, and that's what will happen when Yibana, when the Beis HaMikdash will be built. So thank you, Rav Aaron, for giving me this amazing opportunity. Okay, friends, fasten your seatbelts. You know, according to the Gemara, when we finish reading the regular parasha of the week, we read the Haftarah. Is there any specific Haftarah that needs to be read on any given week? Not really. Shas does not legislate any particular Haftarah to be read at any given week. So let's say it's Parshas Noach. You could read any Haftarah you want. You could technically read any prophet, any prophecy that's relevant to the parsha of the week, provided that it's minimum 21 psukim or one self-contained inyan. The Gemara does not legislate, the Gemara does not discuss what Haftarah to read on any given week. There are very few prophecies ordained by the Gemara by Talmud Bavli. The Gemara Masechta Megillah tells us about the Haftarahs to read on the Yomim Tovim, what to read on Pesach, what to read on Sukkot, what to read on Shavuos. The Gemara even says what to read Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Av. And amazingly, even though we have very few Haftarahs that are ordained by the Gemara, and the Gemara legislates what to read Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Av, we do not follow the legislation of Talmud Bavli when it comes to the Haftarah of Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Av. What do we do? So we have a series of Haftarahs that are called Shiva Dinechemta, the 7 weeks of consolation. Where do these Haftarahs come from? Does the Gemara talk about it? Is it in Talmud Bavli? Nowhere in Talmud Bavli are the Shiva Dinechemta mentioned. These are seven Haftarahs, seven of the most beautiful Haftarahs of the year that come from the Navi Yeshaya. They are not mentioned or discussed in Talmud Bavli. So how could that be? That on the one hand, these Haftarahs are not discussed in Talmud Bavli, And on the other hand, Talmud Bavli does say what to read on Rosh Chodesh Av that comes out on Shabbos. And yet we don't follow the teaching of the Talmud Bavli. Instead, we read the Shiva Dinechemta. Tosfos Masechta de Megillah introduces us to an amazing idea that even though the Talmud Bavli is the backbone of Halacha, all of Shulchan Aruch comes from Talmud Bavli. And if there would be a dispute between the Babylonian Talmud and the Yushalmi Talmud, we would follow the Babylonian Talmud. So the Talmud Bavli is the supreme source of Halacha. Nevertheless, when it comes to reading certain parshiyos, there is a very early source, that this source is so important, it even trumps the Talmud Bavli. And we look in a medrash called the Psikta, and the Psikta teaches us as follows. There is a series of 10 haftiras during the year. And there's even a mnemonic for it. The mnemonic is Deshach, Dalet Shin Ches, Divrei Yirmiyahu, Shimu Dvar Hashem, Chazoin Yishayo Ben Amoitz. Those are what is known as Tlasa de Poranusa, the 3 weeks of punishment. Deshach, Divrei Yirmiyahu, Shimu Dvar Hashem, Chazoin Yishayahu. These are 3 weeks of punishment, followed, says the Psikta, by 7 haftiras, and the mnemonic is Noah Arkish. Has a pretty catchy ring to it. Noya Arkish, Nun Vav Ayin, Aleph Reish Kuf Shin, Nun Vav Ayin, Nachamu Nachamu Ami, Yoimar Eloi Keichem. Followed by Vatoimer Tzioi Nazavani Hashem, Vav Ayin, Aniyasa Yara, Aloi Nuchama, Arkish, Anoichi Anoichi, Humanachemchem, Aleph Reish. Rani Akara, Lo Yalada, Kuf, Kumi Oiri, and Shin, Sois Asis Bashem, Noya Arkish. You got that? So if you walk out on Emek Rephaim and somebody stops you and he says, what are the 7 weeks of consolation? You say, Noya Arkish. So, wow, amazing. It's good. It's good to know this because you never know. It's happened to people. I've personally met many people that have been stopped on street corners and have been asked, what are the 7 weeks of consolation? And they responded, Noya Arkish. It's a good thing to know. Don't ever forget, you heard it here at the Yibana Learning Center, right? But the Psikta adds there are an additional 2 haftaras of Tarti Ditiyufta, 2 weeks of tshuva. And they are Tzayim Gedalia, Dirshu Hashem Himatzoi, and finally, Shuva Yisrael, Shabbos Shuva. Okay, so 12 haftaras. They are rooted in the Psikta. Now, we come to the clash of the titans, because we have Psikta saying there are 12 epic haftaras. They are Deshach, Noya Arkish, Dash. And you have Talmud Bavli giving you what to read? Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Av. So who are you going to follow, Talmud Bavli or Psikta? So you would have thought, look, you know, I learned in Yeshiva and I know the importance and the primacy of Talmud Bavli, so probably we're going to follow what the Gemara says. Don't we always follow what the Gemara says? But there's always an exception. Since the Psikta is an earlier source than the Talmud Bavli, it's a source, almost a Tanaitic source, it's from Medrash. Therefore, Tosfos says, it trumps what it says in Talmud Bavli. Tosfos says, Ein anu oisin kein. We do not follow the legislation of Talmud Bavli. Lefi she'anu noyagin al pi ha-psikta. Because we follow the psikta. Wow. That's an amazing thing. Would there then be a difference in halacha between the haftaras of the Shiva Dinechemta and other haftaras of the year? Yes, there would. There's a halachic significance to these haftaras. Namely, let's say on a random Shabbos, say it was Parshas Kedoshim. That's a good one. That's like the most controversial haftarah of the year, basically, because we don't know, do we read the Achrei Mois? Usually the rule is, the Rama says, whenever you have a double parsha, you read the second haftarah. But there's an issue with Achrei Mois Kedoshim, because the Kedoshim one is very judgmental on Yerushalayim, but okay, let's say Kedoshim, and for whatever reason, there's nobody to read it. They're looking for the klaf. It's locked up, and nobody knows where the key is, and they don't even have a Tanakh, and nobody, they don't read the Haftorah that week. Is there makeup for a Haftorah? Do you make up a Haftorah? Let's say you miss the Haftorah. Do you make up a Haftorah? I'll tell you an interesting question. You know, I travel a lot, and sometimes the plane will land at our destination on a Monday or Thursday morning, and maybe we'll have 10 men with us on the trip, but we won't necessarily have the Sefer Torah on us. So we'll daven shachris with a minyan, we won't have Kriyas HaTorah. But then we'll come to a shul for mincha. Do you lean from the Torah mincha time? Is there a tashlumen? Is there makeup for a Kriyas HaTorah Monday or Thursday? That's a big question. And if there is, when do you read it? Do you read it like on a tinus in middle of mincha? Do you read it before mincha because you still have to catch up from shachris? Do you read it after mincha? That's a big question in halacha, actually. Harav Noach Isaac Obam just came out with volume 4 of Shalas Uchuvas, Minchas Chein. And in his fourth volume of Responsa, he deals with that question. And do you know who asked him that question? It was me. I asked him the question. And that's how I got into the Sefer. You know, I was able to get my way into the Sefer with that question. And his conclusion is, yes, you do make up the Kriyas HaTorah. So Kriyas HaTorah has makeup. Do you make up a Haftorah? No, you don't make up a Haftorah. You do not have to make up a Haftorah. But if you miss the Shiva Dinechemta, one of the 7 weeks of consolation, and as you'll see, many of them are in exact order of as it appears in Yeshaya. So let's say, for instance, you missed Vatoimer Tzion Azavani Hashem, which is Yeshaya Mem Tes Tenun Aleph, and now it's the week of Anoichi Anoichi Humenachemchem, which is also Yeshaya Nun Aleph. You'll start from Vatoimer Tzion Azavani Hashem, and you'll make up Vatoimer Tzion, and then read Anoichi Anoichi Humenachemchem. Because these Haftaras are ordained by the Psikda, they must be made up. You can't miss it. If you miss it, there is Tashlumen. There is a Sefer of Tshuvas, Shaus of Tshuvas, Tzemach Tzedek, not to be confused with the Tzemach Tzedek, one of the early Admoirim of Chabad, who is called Tzemach Tzedek. But this was the Tzemach Tzedek that I'm referring to is Rav Menachem Mendel Krachmil, who is a Talmud of the Bach, who's buried in Nikolsburg. And the Tzemach Tzedek was also Menachem Mendel. If your name is Menachem Mendel, then Tzemach Tzedek is the title for you, just in case there are any Menachem Mendels over here. I don't see too many Menachem Mendels over here. But if your name is Menachem Mendel, you should name your Sefer Tzemach Tzedek, because the gematria of Menachem Mendel is Tzemach Tzedek. That's why it's... He writes, Nira Shahanach Haftoros Dinechemta Adifi Mishar Haftoros Shabbosos Hashanah. They're the most important Haftoros of the year. Let's say a guy says... There are people like this. They need a break by the Haftorah. Yeah? There's such a musag, not in Israel, not in my shul. And let's say somebody says, you know, I only have the bandwidth or the capacity to sit through 7 Haftorahs. Should he sit through Yom Kippur or Shiva Dinechemta? The Tzemach Tzedek implies these are the most important Haftorahs of the year, which implies even more important than the ones mentioned in the Talmud Bavli itself regarding the Yomim Tovim. But once you sit through the 7 Haftorahs of Yeshaya, you'll never want to miss any of the Haftorahs the whole year. But now let's examine just one point that I mentioned, that these are the most important Haftorahs of the year. Well, are they? What if Rosh Chodesh Elul falls out on Shabbos? What Haftarah do we usually read on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? Hashamayim kisi. Hashamayim kisi. The heaven is my throne. Well, what do you do if it's the week of the Shiva de Nechemta? On the one hand, the Gemara says you have to read Hashemayim Kisi on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. On the other hand, you have the Psikta. The Psikta predates the Talmud Bavli. What do you do in such an instance? Says the Mordechai, in such a case, you're going to read
some of each.
Shiva de Nechemta. Because these are the most important Haftiras of the year. What about Tadir v'she'enoi Tadir, Tadir? How often do you read Shabbos Rosh Chodesh?
Maybe more than once a year, no?
Twice a year. Shabbos Rosh Chodesh will always be twice a year. The Shiva de Nechemta is seven times a year. But that particular one of the Shiva de Nechemta is once a year. Could you say Tadir v'she'enoi Tadir, two versus one? Interesting question. The Mordechai says you may not skip the Shiva de Nechemta. It's mentioned in the Psikta, but inspires the Rishonim ruled that you'll read Hashamayim Kisi. How do we paskin? The Sfardim follow the ruling of the Mechaber. We never skip the Shiva de Nechemta. The Rama follows the ruling inspires that we read Hashamayim Kisi. Is that an exception to the rule? Does that mean Hashamayim Kisi and the Nechama is less important than following Talmud Bavli that says you read Hashamayim Kisi? No, says the Taz. You see, Hashamayim Kisi has a dual function. First of all, it mentions Rosh Chodesh, V'haya Midei Chodesh B'chadshoy, Midei Shabbas B'shabbatoy, and it also has Nechama. What's the Nechama? Simchi es Yerushalayim, v'gilu ba kol ayaveha, sisu ita masois kol hamisablam aleha. So since this Haftarah not only discusses Rosh Chodesh, it also has Nechama es Yerushalayim, therefore you sort of fulfill both in Yanim and Ashkenazim, read on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Elul Hashamayim Kisi. But if we'll be able to make up the Shiva de Nechemta, we'll try to make it up a different week. So this way we're able to fulfill both. Let's examine briefly the order of the Shiva de Nechemta. We begin with Nachamu Nachamu Ami, which is Yeshaya Perek Mem. Okay? But listen carefully because we want to make sure that when we're reading in Sefer Yeshaya, we're reading it in order. Okay? Yeshaya Perek Mem, the 40th chapter of Yeshaya, followed by Vatoimer Tzion Azavani Hashem, which is Isaiah 49, Yeshaya Perek Memtes. Okay, we're going from Mem to Memtes. So far, so good. Then, Ani Asayar Eloi Nuchama, Yeshaya Nundalad. Okay, so Mem, Memtes, Nundalad, 40, 49, 54. Then, Anoichi, Anoichi Hu Menachem Chem. That's Yeshaya 51. What's going on? How could that be? Aniya Sayara is Isaiah 54. And Anoichi Anoichi Menachem Chem is Yeshaya 51. That's out of order. Then we go to Rani Akara Lo Yalada. That's Yeshaya 54, the beginning of Perek Nun Dalet. So we have, it's already out of order in two ways. It's already out of order in two ways. Then we go to Kumi Oiri, which is Yeshaya 60. So is Asich, Asis Yeshaya 61. Comes the Levush, Rav Mordechai Yaffa, and he says, we have two problems with the order of the Shiva de Nechemta. First of all, Vatoimer Tzion, which is third week, Anoichi Anoichi, which is the fifth week, Aniya Soyara, which is the third week, Rani Akara, which is the fifth week. The third week comes from the end of chapter 54, and the fifth week comes from the beginning of 54. So week 3 and week 5 need to be switched. Week 3 and week 5 are out of order. And furthermore, week 4, Anoichi, Anoichi, Hu Menachem Chem, is from Yeshaya Nun Aleph. So the correct order should be Nachamu, Vatoimer Tzion. We should go to the fourth week, Anoichi, Anoichi. We should go to the fifth week, Rani Akara. We should then go to the third week, Ani Asayara. It's out of order in two ways. Why in the world do we not follow the order that these Haftaras appear in the Navi Yeshaya? They're a unit. They're a system. They're a package deal of seven Haftaras from the Navi Yeshaya. Why wouldn't we read them in chronological order as they appear in the Navi? No, we don't do that. Instead, we have this seemingly arbitrary reading of Nachamu, Nachamu, Vatoimer Tzion, Ani Asayara, Anoichi, Anoichi, Rani Akara, Kumi Ayri, Saisasas. So how do we understand that? This is a question of the Lavush. Hamza Lavush, and the Lavush reveals to us, based on Rishonim, the Avodraham, that the seven Haftaras of the Shiva de Nechemta are not just random passages and selections from the Navi Yeshaya, but actually there is one common narrative and storyline that strings the seven Haftaras from beginning to end. And the reason we pick it in this order is in order to illustrate the narrative of the consolation of the Jewish people. What's the storyline? Says the Medrash, God comes to the prophets and he instructs the prophets, go to the Jewish people and console the Jewish people. Nachamu, nachamu, ami. By the way, that's the best haftarah to have as a bar mitzvah haftarah. Just pointing that out. Nachamu, nachamu, ami. Did you know that? It's very, very important bar mitzvah haftarah. Nachamu, nachamu, ami. So God tells the Nevi'im, console my people. So the Jewish people say to God, well, we've been waiting 2,000 years. We've been in exile for 2,000 years. You destroyed our temples. You exiled us. We were persecuted. And now you're telling a middleman to console us? No! V'atoymer Tzion azavani Hashem. Tzion says, God, you forsook us. What you destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and now you're sending someone else to console us? That's not right. Ani asayir aleinu chama. We're the storm-tossed nation. We will not be consoled. We don't want to hear consolation from the prophet. So Hashem has no choice. He says, I will personally console you. Anoichi, anoichi, hu menachemchem. I will console you. And therefore Hashem says, Rani akara lo yalada, sing barren Yerushalayim who has not given birth to her children. Kumi oiri, rise, my light, kiva oirech. And then the Jewish people respond on the final week, on the week before Rosh Hashanah, did you realize that the consolation goes from Tisha B'Av all the way until Erev Rosh Hashanah? You could have Rosh Hashanah on a Monday, and 2 days before, we're reading the Shiva de Nechemta, Kumi Oiri Kiva Oirech, Sois Asis Bashem. So says the Lavush, the reason we're not reading it in chronological order is we're not taking selections and passages in the order that it appears in the Navi Yeshaya. It's trying to illustrate a storyline, a narrative, and the narrative is the conversation between the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Jewish people and the prophets of Israel, where Hashem orders the prophets, console the Jewish people. Nachamu, nachamu, ami is the word of the Ribbono Shel Olam to the Nevi'im. And Klal Yisrael says, no, you've rejected us. We don't accept it. We will not be consoled. V'atoymer Tzion azavani Hashem. Tzion says, God, you forsook us. You forsook us. By the way, on those words, listen carefully. V'atoymer Tzion azavani Hashem. Little trivia question. Does anybody know, in the five books of the Torah, how many times does the name of Hashem appear? In Chamishei Chumshei Torah. 1,820. The Shem Havaya appears 1,820 times. Do you know how many words are in the Haggadah Shel Pesach? 1,820, corresponding to the number of times God's name appears in the Chumash. Do you know how many words are in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah? 1,820, corresponding to the names of God in the Torah. Do you know how many words Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Yosef, and Binyamin say in Chamishei Chumshei Torah? 1,820 words. The 12 tribes in the Chumash, if you count up the words that they say. Total. If you add up all the words of the 12 tribes, the Sefer, Ahavas Torah, of
they don't speak so much.
They don't talk a lot. Yosef has a lot to say.
Yeah.
1,800 words together.
Yeah, don't. But I'm just saying, who else talks?
Who else talks? Reuven. Reuven said, you know, Shimon, Lechuven, Nahargehu, you know, they have what to say. A total of 1,820 words. Yosef says, Pakoid yifkoid eschem v'halisem esad loy Hashem shalachani, loy atem shalachani. Yep, 1,820. Now, comes the Navi, and the Navi says, V'atoy mertziyoin azavani Hashem v'ashem shechechani. It almost seems like we're saying we've been abandoned by the name of God. Almost like Hashem's name has abandoned us. Atoimer tziyon azavani Hashem v'Hashem shecheichani Ekev. And what week do we read? Ani asay ara loinu chama rei. Those are the 2 weeks where we say we're just distraught. God's name has abandoned us. Ekev and rei. You ready for this? In the zchus of Reb Aaron and Yibana, and I want to thank my dear friend Reb Sal Orbach, who made arrangements for tonight's shiur. Thank you very much. You ready for this? The 2 weeks where the Jewish people say the name of God has abandoned us. Now, primarily, it's Parshas Ekev. In Parshas Ekev, we say V'atoymer tzion azavani Hashem V'Hashem shcheichoni. Wouldn't it be something if there was something special about the number of names mentioned in Parshas Ekev? Lo and behold, which parsha in the Torah has the most mentions of the name of Hashem? Parshas Ekev. The week that the Jewish people say, the name of God has abandoned us, the parsha itself consoles us. We have more mentions of the name of God in Ekev than any other parsha. And then, second on the list, the week where Klal Yisrael is almost as destroyed, where we say, Aniya Sayara Loinu Chama, we have the second most names of the name of Hashem in the whole Chumash. We have 93 in Ekev and 88 in Re'eh. There is no two-week period in the whole Chumash that has more mentions of the name of Hashem. The Parsha itself consoles us. By the way, who remembers? Little trivia question. In the Kinnus, we say, in the Kinnus about Titus HaRasha, it says, the Jews realized in the morning that something bad was going to happen in the Beis HaMikdash. When they woke up in the morning, Kehishke Mishares V'loi Matzah, how many Klei Shares are there in the Beis HaMikdash according to Masechet Midos? How many Kelim are in the Beis HaMikdash? There are 93 Kelim. And they couldn't find the 93 Kelim on the ominous morning that Titus came to the Beis HaMikdash. The Kinnus even says, We were missing the 93 Kelim. Well, in the first full week after the Chorban, we're mashlim the 93 Kelim by saying the name of Hashem 93 times in Parshas Ekev. And then I found in the Roy Keach says, Parshas Ekev, 93 mentions of Hashem's name, Keneged the 93 Kelim. And he doesn't say anything more. But clearly, this is some kind of fulfillment of the missing 93 Kelim that we're missing in the time of the Chorban. So, these weeks, we feel distant from the name of Hashem. These weeks of the year have more mentions of Hashem's name than any other week. Actually, it's very amazing. The letters Yud Kei Vav Kei, how many ways are there to unscramble these letters? How many permutations are there of the Shem Havaya? We have 12, right? Each month of the year corresponds to a different permutation of the Shem Havaya. There's even in some Siddurim, it gives you, when you say Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Rashei Chadashim, when you say those words, it's recommended to think of the permutation of Shem Havaya that's associated with that month. So there are 12 different ways to spell the Shem Havaya. Anybody know how to spell the Shem Havaya of the month that we're in right now? It's spelled He, Vav, Yud, Kei. Havaya. How do we refer to Hashem's name? Havaya. Of all the 12 permutations, who decided, let's call the name of God the permutation of Av? Why don't we call it, any of the other 12 permutations. Why have we honed in on the permutation of the month of Av, and we referred to the name of God, Hashem Havaya, says the B'nai Yisachar, because this is the month everything is going to turn around. This is the month that Hashem will rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash, and the Geula will come, and Mashiach is born. Therefore, we're focused on the permutation associated specifically with the month of Av, which is Hey Vav, then Yud and a K. That's why we call the name of Hashem Shem Havaya. Now, let's think a little bit more about the words Va'atoymer Tzion Azavani Hashem Vashem Shechecha Ani. What time is it?
9:00.
We say Tzion says Hashem abandoned us and Hashem forgot us. Which one? Did he abandon us or did he forget us? These are two different things. Abandonment means total forsaking something. Forgetting means temporary losing focus on something. And why the first time do we say Va'toymer Tzion Azavani Yud Kei Vav Kei? And then by forgetting we say Va'doy Shem Aleph Dal Nun Yod Shechechani. Somebody sent me an email today. A very upsetting email. No, it wasn't so upsetting actually. But they want to know, why do I say Va'doy Shem? The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't say Adoy Shem. It's not. And there's a reason, because usually I don't do it. I only do it if I need to distinguish between the Havaya and the Shema Adnos, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. So I say Adoy Shem, so that people are clear, that you understand clearly that I'm referring to Hashem's name spelled Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, as opposed to Hashem's name spelled Yud, K, Vav, K. Why is it that when we refer to Hashem forsaking us, we say, Vatoymer Tzion Azovani, Yud, K, Vav, K, Vashem, Shechechani. So, the B'nai Yisachar says another beautiful idea. When we say a bracha or a tefillah, we do not pronounce Hashem's name at all. We don't pronounce it. We don't pronounce Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei. We pronounce it Aleph Dal Nun Yud. So in the Golos, we don't even say the name. So it's like the Yud Kei Vav Kei has completely abandoned us. Va'toymer Tzion Azavani Havaya. Havaya has abandoned us, forsaken us. We don't even say it. We're not even allowed to say it. But the Shem Adonos that we do say, and we say it repeatedly, it seems like Shechechani. He's forgotten us. That's the nuance, the difference between Azavani, forsaking, as associated with the Shem Havaya, and the forgetting as associated with the Shem Adonos. Let's make a quick calculation here. We have 7 weeks of consolation. How many psukim comprise these 7 weeks of consolation? So if I ever need to read these haftarahs from a klaf, my go-to, besides Nachamu, which I may have, I didn't say it explicitly, did you know that Nachamu is my bar mitzvah parsha? Yeah, you should, yeah. Thank you. Nachamu is my bar mitzvah parsha. I see a few people who actually were present at my bar mitzvah. I can't mention any names, and I'm not going to even insinuate who they might be. But besides Nachamu, I like to lean Aniya Sayara and Rani Akara. You know why? Aniya Sayara is only 12 psukim, and Rani Akara is only 10 psukim. Now, usually the rule is you have to read 21 psukim, but if it's a inyan shalim, if it's a complete topic, you could get away with reading less psukim. The total number of psukim of consolation that we read, the 26 of Nachamu, the 27 of Atamer Tzion, the 12 of Aniya Sayara, the 24 of Anoichi, the 10 of Rani Akar, the 22 of Kumi Ori, 23 of Sois Asis, 144 psukim of consolation. 144. 144.
12 times 12.
12 times 12. Or 144 times 1. Okay? Those are 144 psukim. Why? Why 144 psukim? Says the Sefer HaTodah of Rabbi Yehu Kitov. Actually, today was the yard site of Harav Berlin. His first yard site. So I'll tell you a story that he would say over. He once met Rabbi Yehu Kitov in the airport, And he heard the clerk, or the stewardess, wish Rabbi Yochitov have a safe flight. And he bellowed out, "Amen!" And Rabbi Wein went over and he said, "Why the dramatic Amen?" He said, "Well, the Ramban says that when the angel told Sarah she was going to have a child, she should have responded, Amen. And because she didn't respond to Amen, she was criticized." So from here we see, even when someone who may not be a member of your faith gives you a blessing, a Jew should always respond, Amen. That's Rabbi Yochitov. Well, this is a chiddush that I do not think appears anywhere else in any other source. This is the chiddush of the Sefer HaToidah, that if you count the number of psukim of stern retribution in the Chumash, the Toichecha of Bechukaisai, the Toichecha of Kisavai, the Toichecha of Nitzavim, and of Shiras Hazinu, there are 143 psukim of Toichecha in the Chumash. Corresponding to that, you have 144 psukim of Nechama. Why? Because Rabbi Sham always gives us consolation for our trouble, for our challenges, for our difficulties. And the consolation is always more than the paranias, than the punishment. There's always more good in this world than there is difficulty. That's the lima, that's the lesson of the psukim of the Shiva de Nechemta, that there are challenges in this world and there are difficulties, but there's a lot more consolation and happiness and simcha and good occasions than there are difficulties. And this is an important idea that we see in this parsha. Re'e anoichi noisein lefneichem hayoim es habracha. Now, I have to point out, the word es is a very important word. Let's say it says, kabed es avicha v'yasimecha. The es comes to teach also your older brother. Now, if my younger brother would be here now, I would definitely want him to hear that, right? But S is very important. Kabed S also, it says, you know, you're supposed to give a bracha to the Baal Bais. When somebody asks you to say brachas hamazayin, and you're in somebody else's house, you have to bless the Baal Bais. Where does that come from? Is there any source to that? Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, of course. It says, v'achalta, v'savata, uveirachta, es Hashem alekecha. So not only you have to bless God, es Hashem alekecha, you got to bless your host also. Es is Baal Rabbis. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would say, where in the Torah does it say you have to learn Musar? Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. It says, hoicheach, toicheach, es amisecha, rebuke your friend. But who else do you need to rebuke? Es. Don't forget to rebuke yourself. Don't forget to learn Musar. So whenever you see the word S, it's always Baal Rabbis. There's even a Sefer darshaning all the S's in the Torah. And some people get so carried away, they love Essen, you know? But that's not what we're referring to. We're referring to the word S.
How do you translate S? How can we in English?
In English, there's no...
In Hebrew, even.
It's an article that has no literal translation. No, for example, Bereishis Bara Elokim could have said Hashamayim. In the beginning, God created the heavens. It already says the. It already says ha. So you know, I'll give a good question. You know, it says that Shimon Hoam Suni specialized in the S's. He had an explanation for every S until he got to the pasuk Es Hashem Lekecha Tira. He didn't know who else he need to fear besides God. Ad Shabar Rabbi Kiva V'Darash Es Hashem Lekecha L'Rabbis Tamid Chachamim. Fear Torah scholars as well. It's interesting. Why didn't he have a problem with V'Ahavta Es Hashem Lekecha? Who else should you love besides God? That he didn't have a problem with. Okay, but that's not the topic. The topic is we're going to now come to a very important S in this week's parasha. Re'e anoichi noisein lefneichem hayoim bracha uklala. Es habracha. It says es habracha. And when it comes to klala, it says v'ha klala. Well, wait a second. Why does it say es habracha? And by the klala, it says v'ha klala. And the Baal HaTurim basically says Because when it comes to happiness and goodness and the blessing of Hashem, there's always a lot of it. There's always more blessing in this world than there is difficulty. Our job in this world is to recognize, appreciate, and hone in on the abundant blessing that Hashem gives us and showers upon us and showers upon the world. We'll end with this. The Gemara at the end of Masech Dehoreis says, what should a person do if they want to know if they're going to live through the year? It's always good to know. It's a good thing to know. It's a convenient thing to know whether you're going to make it through the year. Because let's say you're not going to make it through the year. Let's say, I won't go clean the garage. I mean, I'm not going to make it through the year, so I should clean. Or let's say a person wants to know, should I clean under my bed? They're not going to make it till next year. Why clean under the bed? You know, they see all the way in the back of the bed, there's an old sock. So if they're going to make it through the year, maybe there's time to go get down. But if they're not going to make it, there are other advantages of knowing whether you're going to make it through the year or not. It's a good thing to know. So how could you know if you're going to make it through it? Listen to this Gemara. Says the Gemara, if a person wants to know, will they make it through the year or not, they should light a candle during the 10 days of repentance in a house where there's no wind. There's no AC. Okay, so far so good, yeah? And there's no air, there are no drifts. If the light burns, you'll make it through the year. What if you want to know, I'm about to involve myself in a certain enterprise. Will I be successful or will I not be successful? Take a chicken, feed it kishka, chulent, kugel. If it gets fat, you'll be successful. The Gemara continues. Let's say you're going on a trip and you want to know, will you make it home from the trip? So you should go to a house. If you could see the shadow of your shadow, you know what that means, the shadow of a shadow? Most people, I'm afraid to try, I'm not even going to try it. But whenever there's light, it shines on you and it creates a shadow. Then when the light shines on that shadow, the shadow produces a second shadow. Says the Gemara, if your shadow, don't look, no, I'm not saying you should do it. This is what the Gemara says, okay? But we're going to see the Gemara says you shouldn't try it. Don't even think about it. Don't go there, okay? The Gemara says if you see the shadow of your shadow, you'll make it back from the trip. And the Gemara, however, concludes, don't do any of these things. You might get nervous. You'll have anxiety. Then it will weaken your mazel, and you won't fulfill the criteria. And don't do these things. However, says the Gemara, since simane milsa, you should eat in the beginning of the year certain symbolic foods to portend what will happen during the course of the year. That's why we have simane milsa. Okay, that's the Gemara. You want to know if you're going to survive the year? Light a candle. If it burns, you'll make it through the year. You want to know if you're going to be successful? Stuff a chicken. If it gets fat, you'll be successful. The Marsha has two basic questions on this Gemara. Question number one is, this would seem to fly in the face of one of the basic prohibitions in the Torah called divination, lo yisenachashu. Let's say a person's about to engage in a certain business deal and they see a black cat and they say, no, I'm not going to go there. There's a black cat has crossed my path. If they refrain from going to where they wanted to go, that would be a violation of a law in the Torah, lo yisenachashu. So says Masha, how could you do these superstitious practices of lighting a candle and feeding a chicken, and you're going to determine and prognosticate based on that whether you'll be successful or whether you'll live or not? Says the Marsha, there's a basic difference between prognostication and confirmation. Did you notice the Gemara, when the Gemara started off, the Gemara says, if somebody wants to know whether they'll make it through the year or not, they should light a candle. If it burns, they'll make it through the year. And the Gemara never said, and if it doesn't burn, they won't. Because, think about it, if you're lighting a candle and there's no wind, of course it's going to burn. Why would it not burn? And if you stuff a chicken with kishka, it will get fat, just like if a person eats that stuff. This is not rocket science. It says the Marsha, there's a difference between prediction and confirmation. If you say, I want to try to predict, will I live out the year or not? And if it burns, I'll live. And if it doesn't burn, I won't live. That's divination. Because you're determining both eventualities based upon the result of what will happen with your experiment. And that's as if to say, I don't know what could happen. I may live or I may not live. And if the candle burns, I'll live. And if the candle doesn't burn, I won't live. That is prohibited. You're not allowed to do that. That is a violation of lo sinachashu. But what this person is doing is they're relying on the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That says the Marsha, if we would have special divine glasses and we would look up to the heavens and see what is emanating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would see, Me HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yetze rak toiv chesed. From God emanates only goodness and blessing. And all difficulty and all hardship in the world are a result of sin blocking our ability to receive the kindness of Hashem. So since the status quo, since the default of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only Toiv Chesed, we are allowed to say to ourselves, Hashem is going to give us another year. Hashem is going to make me successful. Hashem is going to help me return from my path, not because I deserve it, because that's the way the Ribon Sham operates. Hashem is always meitiv. He's always giving chayim. He's always giving bracha. He's always giving hatzlacha. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to light a candle in a room that has no wind. And if it burns, well, no kidding. Not, of course, that's what it's going to do. It's going to burn. You're not predicting. You're merely confirming the established method and principle with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates, namely, Rak Toiva Chesed, says the Marsha, you're allowed to confirm God's Chesed. You're allowed to light the candle and say, it's burning, I'm going to live. I'm allowed to stuff the chicken and it's getting fat and I'll be successful. And I'm allowed to check on the shadow of my shadow. Every shadow has a shadow. There has never been a shadow that doesn't have a shadow. But don't look, you might not see it. Don't focus on it. But scientifically, according to the laws of physics, the shadow produces a shadow. All of you here have your shadow has a shadow. You're all good. You're merely confirming the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Coming up, the first week of Elul, is the 100th yahrzeit of the Meshech Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk. He tells us that after Hashem gave the man to the Jewish people, Hashem says, so that the Jewish people see the bread that I fed them when I took them out of the land of Egypt. Says the Meshech Chachma, you know, we're living in an age where we're bombarded with the following word, bitachain, bitachain, have trust in God. Trust things will be good. However, sometimes it's hard to trust things will be good when we have an annoying feeling that we know Hashem wants to be meitiv to us. We know Hashem can be meitiv to us. But sometimes we think maybe we're not deserving of Hashem's beneficence and benevolence. Maybe we're not worthy of it. Therefore, says the Meshech Chachma, Hashem reminds us, remember when I fed the Jewish people when they left the land of Egypt? They were on the 49th level of Tumah. They were not learned. They were not dedicated. And they were rebellious. And that's when I gave them the man, not after I gave them the Torah, right after they left Egypt, to remind the Jewish people that Hashem provides for us even when we're undeserving and even when we're unworthy. And the Chafetz Chaim teaches that a Jew has the right to say and to think, Hashem is going to help me, save me, provide for me, shower chesed on me, not only if I'm a tzaddik, as long as I'm not actively rebelling, says the Chafetz Chaim, that was the main machloikes between the Meraglim and Kalev and Yehoshua. The Meraglim said, of course, God could defeat the 31 kings, and he could give us the land of Israel, and he could wipe out our enemy. The only thing is, we're no longer as deserving as the Jews were 40 years ago. So he could do it, and he would do it, and he wants to do it, but he's not gonna do it, because we're not deserving. And Kalev and Yehoshua says the Chafetz Chaim, say the historic words that reverberate until the end of time, four words that you should never forget. Ach Bashem Al Timroidu. What are these four words? Yeshua and Kalev taught the Jews of the desert, taught Klal Yisrael for all time, that a person has a right to say, Hashem is not only going to save me if I'm a tzaddik, Hashem says, I will save you, just don't be a rebel against me. Just don't rebel against Hashem. Listen to the words of the Chafetz Chaim. Kozman she'in adam moired ba'kadosh baruch hu, yuchal lekavois l'chol toiv, a person can anticipate everything that is good in this world. The Rambam writes in the Mar Nevuchim, most of what we receive from Hashem is good, is enjoyment, is happiness, and even at the end of one's life, and they're not as healthy maybe as they were when they're younger, the majority of life Hashem gives us health. And even when a person has a difficulty, the majority of things at that very time are bracha. The Rambam says, May oilam loy ra'isi mi sheyia loy roiv tzarais ela roiv brachais. There was never someone who didn't have an abundance of blessing in their life. That is the opening pasuk of this week's parsha. Es ha-bracha. When it comes to bracha, it's bala rabbis. There's an abundance of it. It's extra. It's more. There are 143 psukim of toichacha, but there's more consolation. There are 3 weeks of punishment. There are 7 weeks of consolation. And that brings us to Rosh Hashanah. And when we feel the consolation of Hashem and the love of Hashem, it helps us begin the process of tshuva that already began last week, Parshas Ekev. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Me'imach, 45 days, beginning with Tu B'Av, begin the process of tshuva. And when we feel this consolation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are motivated and catapulted to begin the process of tshuva. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to join you this evening. Thank you, Reb Aaron, for arranging tonight's shir. Thank you, Reb Sal. And thank you to my family for comprising the entire audience tonight. Rubai Kukulai. Thank you, Reb Judah. Nice to see you. Thanks for joining us. And I wish you all bracha v'hatzlacha v'chol tov selah. Thank you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.